How do you come to know Jesus? Many people think of this enterprise as their own personal search, something they do as kind of an investigation. They read, they study, they discuss, they reflect, and in the process of looking for Jesus and seeking to discover who Jesus really was, they believe they will come to know Jesus. But I think what is clear from the scriptures is that we know Jesus not by our efforts to discover him, but rather by what he reveals of himself to us. In other words, Jesus already reveals himself to us in ways that enable us to understand who he really is. To know Jesus is to come into the presence of someone so profound and so unforgettable that in order to describe him, it literally defies explanation. Again, we can't really know Jesus by our own efforts or our own search, but we can know Jesus by what he reveals to us about himself. And as we begin to know Jesus, we also come to understand something about God. Because the very nature of God is seen in the revelation of Jesus. Very honestly, revelation, I think, is one of the reasons that we come to worship. Hopefully, we come to worship to praise and thank God, but I also think that deep within each of us, we come to worship because we hope to receive some new revelation, some new insight about God's presence among us, some insight into what God is really like. Several years ago, the George Barna Research Group did a survey on worship patterns across the country, and this is what they found. They found that among people who regularly come to church, regularly attend worship regularly, 32% said they had never experienced God in worship. And 48% said they had not experienced God during the last year. And the younger a person was who completed the survey, the less likely they were to have experienced God in worship. Now, if we take that statistic and extrapolate that to the people here today, it means half of you have not experienced God during this past year at worship. And a third of you, approximately, have never experienced God at worship. We're attending worship, but many of us are not experiencing God. We're not receiving a revelation of God in our worship services. And I don't say that to condemn people. I don't say it to be mean. I'm just saying that that's what the report was based on surveys that people took. Well, what are the things that keep us from experiencing God? What are the things that block us, obstacles? I'm going to focus just on a few general categories. There's a lot that could be said, but just to get your mind thinking. The first one I'll call is a cultural obstacle. And the best way to put it is just a bad attitude. A lot of people come to church and they come to worship service and the only thing that matters is what I need today. What I need today. There's another attitude out there, I think, for a lot of people that going to church is somehow an admission of weakness. Lack of control over life and circumstances. So we want to be able to direct our lives, call the shots, and a lot of people think of religion as like a crutch. So it blocks, therefore, any interaction of experiencing God. On a personal level, there's sometimes a misunderstanding of the very purpose of worship. Again, worship is not about what I get out of it. It's about what I put into it. There's a misunderstanding about the content of worship. A lot of people think that worship is like just a sermon. The worship service is much more than just the sermon. It's a connection of the heart and the body, the mind, the spirit. All of us need to be present at worship. And if only a part of what we are and who we are is there, It's an obstacle. And then there's the obstacles that we in the church place. Sometimes we as leaders have a wrong focus. We're trying to please people instead of trying to please God. Worship is more than learning about God. Worship is interacting with God. And sometimes we use the wrong evaluation criteria. We think, well, enthusiastic big crowds must have been a good worship service. But in order for us to interact with God, we ought to be thinking about things of intimacy and humility and awe. Are people able to experience those kinds of things in worship? So the question for today is this: when you come to worship, are you open to God's revelation? Do you open yourself up to the possibility that maybe God has something to say to you today through this service? Or are these obstacles so big that they can't allow God to penetrate? See, I believe unless we allow ourselves to be open to what God is revealing to us today, we will continue to just go through the motions of attending church, attending worship. We'll be here in body, but our heart and our spirit will be someplace else. We will attend worship, but we will never encounter the living God. Now, in our gospel story today, Jesus leads these three disciples up a mountain. When I think about mountains, I typically think about places of quietness, places of retreat, places of renewal, places to sort of get away from the stuff of life. 5 years ago, almost now, Susan and I experienced a couple of retreats during a time of sabbatical. Both of them were in the mountains, and both of them were intended to be times of renewal. What we discovered in the process, however, was they were also times of revelation. And one of the keys to the revelation was whether or not we were open to the living God and the living Spirit of God among us. The first was up in the Rocky Mountains in a retreat center known as Sunscape, S-O-N-S-C-A-P-E. It was located near Colorado Springs, Pikes Peak, Garden of the Gods, all those special places. But this particular setting was very unique because it was designed for couples in ministry. There were only 5 couples at each event, and we spent an entire week engaged in very simple things, dealing with personal renewal, personal spiritual renewal, counseling, meditation, reading, prayer, regrouping. And what resulted there, for us at least, was a reforming of our spiritual center and a discovery of some significant revelations about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Now, I have to say that we did not know what was ahead for us, but we felt led up to those mountains in that summer retreat. The second mountain experience was in a Lutheran retreat center known as Holden Village, up in the beautiful Cascade Mountains of Washington near Lake Chelan. And in this magnificent, majestic setting, every morning I taught a Bible class on 2 Corinthians. But again, in that week or 10 days we were there, we experienced again personal renewal and revelation about our relationship with God and about our relationship with each other. Both of these experiences strengthened and tested our prayer life. Both experiences stretched us emotionally and spiritually. Both experiences broadened us and deepened our relationship with each other as well as God. And both of these experiences are ones that we can go back to and think about and reflect on and see how it has changed us as individuals. Well, that's exactly what happened, what Jesus was doing with these three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Initially, the Bible says Jesus was taking them up a mountain to pray. Up a mountain to pray. But they had no idea what was in store for them once they got there. It's very important to understand these two concepts as up a mountain and prayer for Luke, because when you read the Gospel of Luke, you notice that every time there is an important event for Jesus, every single time he is in prayer. Before his baptism, before Peter's confession, before the crucifixion, every single time Jesus is in prayer. And the mountain is sort of a symbolic thing for Luke because it is a place symbolically that is a place to encounter God. It's where somehow God and human beings intersect, where communion with God then helps set a direction, set a course. And here on this mountain, everything changes. That's what times of retreat and solitude can do, but the key there is being open to the possibility that new revelation can take place. Peter, James, and John, when they were on that mountain, they saw these other elements of their own religion come into understanding. They saw Moses, they saw Elijah, they saw the law that they had been taught since young children. They saw the prophets, the words of the prophets, and somehow they were all connected with this person, Jesus, who they thought was just a rabbi, just a teacher, just a great healer. And now, all of a sudden, they see he's something so much more. That he is the fulfillment of everything they ever knew about their faith. And so on this mountain and in prayer, the disciples have their eyes open and they see who Jesus is. They see the glory of Jesus experienced through the eyes of God. They see something that they have never seen before in their relationship. C.S. Lewis, famous British author, wrote an essay entitled Meditation in a Tool Shed. And in this particular essay, he describes the personal experience of finding himself in a dark tool shed with a beam of light streaming through a small crack in the roof. He says that when he looked at the beam of light, he saw one thing. But when he changed his position to enter into the beam of light and look along with it, he saw something very different. When he was not looking at the beam of light, he was no longer seeing the beam of light in itself. Instead, he saw what was affected by the beam of light. He saw the results of the light showing on what was around him. And so C.S. Lewis used this very simple observation as a metaphor for ways in which we know and experience. He called it observing from the outside and participating from the inside. And when he used those metaphors, he said, that's one way to understand Christianity. Looking at Christianity from the outside, trying to analyze it, rather than looking with Christianity on the inside and participating in the experience. Looking at something from the objective scientific way is one way of knowing, but it doesn't tell us everything. It's not the only way of knowing something. And sometimes we have to step outside of an experience in order to see it for what it really is. Sometimes we know that light of God only in its reflection, only in what it shows us rather than the light itself. There's nothing quite like a mountaintop to give human beings a sense of the majesty of God. But again, Luke tells us that Jesus had those two intentions. He said, let's go up to the mountain to pray. But then he showed the disciples something that they would never have imagined. So my hope for you every week that you come to worship is that you will have the openness to receive the presence of a living God in your life. That you will be open to something, whether it's a message from a song, the message from the scriptures, the message through a sermon, the message through prayers, but something will touch you and bring you to an understanding and knowledge of the living God in your midst. Amen.